There's power in the name. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. There's a being standing right here, and it looks like a tendon or something in an arm that somebody needs in their arm. Who would that be? Is that you? What is it that you need? Yeah. Oh my goodness. Gee. Hallelujah. Something the arm. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory's in here.
Thank you.
Good start. Good start. Well, did you enjoy the mentoring? 3 nights of mentoring? Now we're going to switch over into camp meeting. Hallelujah. My wife will be here starting Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning. And then our meetings will be Monday night, no morning meeting, but Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Is that right? You don't want to miss a one. We'd like to see you. Hallelujah. Well, turn to at least 3 or 4 people and say, you look nice tonight, and you may be seated. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. We have some, you've seen the book and tape table out there. I don't know how it's going out there, but we got the stuff for you. Here's a book that my wife, and it's just a powerful book, Fit for the Master's Use, a handbook for raising godly children. Hallelujah. This is our 2 boys here. They're 10 years apart, and this is a very rare time for them hugging each other, you know. So Stephen wanted to be the only child, and Grant came along and interrupted that. So, but anyway, if you know what I mean with brothers. But this is a powerful book. You hear my wife, if you heard any of her tapes, she talks a lot about her mother and how she was raised. Well, if you're nosy and you want to know what she looks like, there's a picture of her in the front, her and her dad right there in the front. And that's Muck. We call her Muck. Her dad's 81 and she's 80. And I'm going to go get him in my airplane in a couple weeks and come out and spend a week with us. And because he's been dimming somewhat, and he's the one that wanted to come out. They've only been out a couple times since we've been living out in California. It's hard to get those people out of Oklahoma, man. They ain't doing it. But there's also in here about what about children in a divorce situation. So many kids get messed up because the divorcees are fighting with each other and the kids pay a price. And she talks about these different issues in here. Here's one: parent first, not a best friend. Amen. A lot of mamas become their girl's best friend, and then they the child lose sight of the parent and looks at a best friend.
Right. Yes, sir.
Wrong appetites, getting them developing gifts, there's one in here. Never too young to serve.
Amen.
We got kids 8, 9, 10 years old that serve, you know, and as apprenticeship ushers, and attending church is not an option.
Amen.
You know, some people, well, the baby, we don't want to take it out in the cold, it ain't feeling too good. My wife, we drug both of our boys to church. I said, it'll be all right when you get there, you'll be healed. Amen. Yeah. Surrounding them with faith and love. Fellowship in the local church. We talk a lot about in those things, about the local church and honoring and receiving honor and faith, honoring the body, Christ, and the local church, teaching your children, parents who honor, how to live long on this earth, a home of honor, the way they should go, protect your home. And we even got in here a Stephen and Morgan story. I know that you're probably nosy on that one. And how Stephen, he said, Mom, I don't want a date. I no more. I just want the right one. So his mother prayed and said to go south. And she looked on my calendar and we were going to go to Pastor Webb's, but he had a pretty girl there. It was Miss Alabama, but Stephen, that's when he broke his leg. He didn't make that trip. But he made the one down in Florida, and that's where he met Morgan. She so fits into the family. You know, here's an interesting thing. Her pastor, Dad Hagen, was his spiritual father. They taught and preached faith. Her mother was the church secretary for, well, almost 20 years now, and was raised in the same company. Amen. And here, Morgan married in. My spiritual father was Dad Hagen. Yeah, and all the way down, the same thing. And so they didn't have to merge anything. It just everything fitted.
Sure.
And she said it was just like being transferred from my church into your church, because you run your church the same way that my pastor used to run the church. And no problems. You know, just because they got a tan, hairy chest and a cross on it, that doesn't mean they... Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, she's got a little write up in here about go south, and it talks about that thing. But there's some really good stuff in here. Praise God. I said praise God. But that's out there, and be a real blessing to you and help you raising children. Just remember, you don't know everything. And here's one, how to be rich God's way. In November, we're having a how to be rich God's way a seminar for a few days out there in California. So if you're snowed in, get the snow plows out, get the road clean, and go to the airport and come to California where it's nice and warm, where God lives. Hallelujah. Lord, when you're all bundled up, we're in shorts. But anyway, not in church, but anyway, praise God. And then responding to the Holy Spirit. And then a sound, disciplined mind. We're starting to get all our stuff in Russia and get this material out in Russia. And possibly Mongolia next year, where the door has opened us to go to Mongolia. We have about 1,000 pastors and evangelists and people in that area that will be able to minister. I think you're going to go with me, aren't you? Yeah, amen. Praise God. And then here's series CD, God's Medicine for Divine Healing. Me and my wife do this. And here's one, God's Medicine for Divine Healing, disc one. And it goes, you have 9 of them in there. So if you need healing in your body, this will be real good. I don't know what the price is on there, but amen. Oh, yeah. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Amen. If you need healing, you really need healing, and you need this, I'll sell you. This is $63, a half price tonight. Half price. We want to get the word out. Amen. Praise God. We got to make some money off of this stuff, because some employees are paid out of that department. So they're home praying, oh, Lord, those people in Jamestown, let them buy tapes where I can get paid, where I can get paid. I'm pushing a little bit there, but anyway, praise God. Amen. Well, I got something rolling around in my spirit.
Hallelujah.
We were over in Fredonia, and I tore up Pastor Michael's church. No, I didn't. We had a good time over there. It's just overwhelming to see how all these churches flow. And praise God. I said praise God. Saturday night, I hope this is all right. I'm getting in trouble with Pastor, the bishop. But Saturday night, it just started to come. We went to Wing City over here and praying. And the Lord started dealing with me about your churches. So I asked the pastor, and he said it's all right. So I felt I need to come, you know, not when I come here, but another time, to go to all his churches. One a night, you know, to impart this anointing that is on me along with comes with the pastor. Hallelujah. So so get all your smooching done when I get there, because I want you to pay attention to what I Amen. Amen, boy. They look great. They got a big old grin. Hallelujah. I've been working on the phone the last 2 days. Me and my wife's anniversary is July the 9th, and I'm going to take her. And then I got my wife's parents coming, her sister, and some other relatives, as much as we can get in the plane, you know. But they're going to go with her, and we're going to celebrate me and my wife's anniversary. And 29 years.
Hallelujah.
And it's been heaven on earth. That's the truth. Amen. Not lying. Lying, well, yeah. Even if I tried to start a fight with her, she wouldn't fight with me. She goes in the bedroom and she prays, and within 5 minutes, God's on my case.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I said amen. Amen. Go over. Go over to Mark 11. Thank you, Lord. Praise. Go over to Mark 11, and let's talk about some things.
Glory to God.
You know, there's nothing like living. You know, there's people that live in crisis.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, as a pastor, you know, their lives are always in crisis. I asked the Lord how many crises I've had, you know, and he said, there was two crises that I've had in my life since I've been saved. Now, I've had tests and trials. See, don't mix them up.
Right, sure.
I said, don't mix those up. You can have a crisis-free marriage.
That's right.
One, if you will do what 1 Corinthians 13 says, and then a little bit what I preached over in Fredonia, it says, you know, submitting to one another. I call it caving into one another. That went over real big. Because most people are selfish. They want their way. If I had my way, I wouldn't even be in the ministry today. I did not want to get in front of people. Flat. That's it. I'll build buildings. I'll be behind the scene. I don't like looking at people. I do now, but back then I didn't. I was a hermit, man. Some of it's got on my son. I'm sorry. The sin of the father has gotten. But you know what I mean? But it ain't about me. It's about getting the job done, what God has. Listen. We have an eternity to go look at Yosemite.
That's right.
You got.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
Now, I'm not saying it's a sin to go to Yosemite or the Grand Canyon or anything else.
Right.
And, you know, they have all these drama shows on TV. What do they call it? Soap opera, you know, housewives. I don't know what they are. And I mean, one day I was walking in, I flipped that on for a little bit, and I said, my goodness, the drama.
Come on now.
Beautiful homes, beautiful cars, and everything else. And I said, at the end of their life, what are they going to bring to God?
Right. Come on, come on. That's right, sir.
And that's all they got to do is go out to dinner and talk about each other. Is the Kardashian family the role model of a family? My God, no, whoever said that, that's right. You know, one daughter shacking up, got two kids. The other one's pregnant, not married. I mean, both of them are not married. I mean, is that the role model? And yet, they're millionaires from... Now, you want to know what the role model, the real role models are? Duck Dynasty. They won't cuss. They won't do things. Amen. And they're outdoing the Kardashian people. They're outdoing those others. Because people are getting fed up with crisis all the time. I mean, there's enough things in life without turning on getting more.
Right. Come on. Come on.
You know, your children are all knocked up. Everything is all messed up and everything else, you know. Is that wrong? I'm just telling you, well, you know. That ain't the real gusto life.
That's right.
I'm telling you, to serve God and live it the way He wants you to live it, it is the real gusto of life.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Are you at Mark 11 yet?
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. Go down. Let's start with the 20th verse. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And, you know, there's one good thing to learn about that tree. When the tree stops producing, it dies. When you stop producing in your Christian life, you don't give in financially, everything starts drying up. And it gets cursed the way this tree did.
Yeah.
And Peter, calling to remember, said, Master, behold that fig tree thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Now, I've heard people on the radio, I've heard people on TV say, can you imagine anybody saying that you can have faith like God? You got your glasses with you? Jesus said I could have the faith of God.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. The devil will fight you more in the area when you release your faith, when you learn to release your faith. See, that's why we don't have 20,000 people yet in these buildings like this, because when you preach faith, then the pressure comes to get you out of that faith, because the devil does not. He hates that message. And he hates anybody that'll preach it. I said he'll hate it. When Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord, there was a sister down in Dallas that has known the family for years and had a college down there, Bible college, and she phoned Dr. Hagin's house because the night before she had a dream, and she saw Brother Hagin going through the pearly gates, and everybody stood and gave him an ovation when he came into heaven. Well done, good and faithful servant. So she phones the house next door to tell Brother Hagin. I'm trying to remember her name. She runs Christ for the Nations. Yeah, friend of Lindsay, had phoned the house, and they said, well, haven't you heard that Dad went home to be with the Lord?
Oh, my.
She said the night before she had a dream that he walked through the pearly gates, and he said there was a standing ovation.
Oh, wow.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. A standing ovation. And I imagine Jesus was there too.
Yeah.
Praising God and hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Because he preached faith. See, you got to understand, Faith ain't a bunch of formulas. There's certain ways you work faith and operate by faith. But once, listen to me, never forget this. Faith is having a relationship with God. When you know God, then you'll know what He'll do. You'll know His word is true. The trouble, people struggle with faith because they don't have a relationship with God and they don't know Him. When you know the God of the scriptures that you're reading, that He's a God, that He's a covenant God, He's not a liar. When He says you can have what you say, if you have a relationship with Him and you work the way that it works. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And really, see, we would have 20,000 people in our church, but we start people coming, they start teaching faith, and then they start putting it a little bit in operation, and wham! Wham! I know for the last 3 years, wham! And attacked in every area, in my integrity, in my finance, every area, the church, everything. What was he trying to get? For I will not go where he wants me to go in this move of God. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching over there. Hallelujah. But he says here, so you got to know he wants you to have the faith of God. And this radio preacher one time, I heard him, you know, you don't have to do this, but this is the way. See, Jesus answered the tree.
That's right.
The tree said, we're not going to produce. We're not going to give you anything.
That's right.
And so he just does whatever. If they ain't producing, then curse it. Because it ain't doing anything. It ain't producing fruit.
Right.
I don't know about you, but that brings a reverence fear to me.
Yeah.
I want to produce fruit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God forevermore. Glory. So he answered that tree. So what I did, this is where when people talk against your church or talk against the message or faith message or the healing message, the righteous message, and what belongs to you in Christ message, which is all the Pauline revelation, I went over to Mark 11 and I held it up to the radio and I said, can't you read? There was nobody in the car with me. I wouldn't care anyway, but can't you read? Jesus said I can have the God kind of faith. And that unbelieving radio preacher also said, and can you imagine anybody saying that you can have what you say? And I said, and also, can't you read? Jesus said, I can have what I say.
Yes.
Amen. Now, why would I react that way? Because I know God. I don't know the whole Bible. I'm continue to learn. You know, always learning, always going from glory to glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But I do know when anybody will say something against faith or against us tongue talkers or anything else, I answer it. As well, some are, you know, they're innocent about it. And I said, well, you just don't know enough yet.
Right.
If you'll stick around, you'll get knowing. And we've had people say, my God, when we were going over to this other dead church, he said, we never had any problems. We come over here and got our mouths right. All hell break loose. I'm going to go back to that church there where they give free TVs away and they have football players coming in on Sunday morning and give you a signed autograph. Well, you know, it don't take no faith to do that. Just show up and you'll get a free autograph. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God forevermore. Amen. When you know God, then you'll answer right.
Amen.
But you got to know the strategy and how the devil works. You remember the sower sows the word? Who comes immediately? You remember the story about the sand? The one that's built on the sand?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. You could be religious and he won't bother you. He'll end up killing you. He'll end up killing you. You know, but he'll let you be religious. But stand up and say, I can have what I say. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm in Christ.
I'm a throne sitter
with my Savior.
Because
he said,
where I am,
so are you.
So
you're a throne sitter. You're down here, but you're sitting with him with power. Oh, I preach myself happy. Glory be to God. Just get up there and sit, praise God, and kick your feet. Amen. In our airplane, we get up to 35,000 feet because it burns less fuel when you're that high. And we get way up there, and I look down. We go over a city, and it looks so small. Well, if you're a throne sitter, praise God, and you know everything's under your feet, praise God, all that stuff is really small. If you look through the eyes of God, if you look where you sit, see, you're looking, you're sitting down here. You're looking at the problem. See, your looking ain't right. Your looking ain't right. Remember Jesus, you remember God healed all those people by credit? And he said, everybody that looketh on the pole and the ones that won't look, they're going to die and they got bit. The reason people are being bit today because you're looking at the wrong thing.
Amen.
This is my introduction. Amen. Now watch this. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. If you have a cross reference, there's either a letter or a number. And here, mine says, have the faith of God. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself in the flesh said, you can have faith like me. Isn't that absolute? Is this doctrine right?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what he says?
Yes, sir.
And some people, well, they get their religious glasses on. Well, that don't mean that. And they get their big, thick accordance out. You know, you could start with an apple tree and make it into an orange tree with some of those Greek words.
Oh, man, yeah.
Can you imagine Paul, all the things he did with pussy eyes? You know, thorn in the flesh, a cancer hanging out. No. You want to know why he went through all that? For what he preached. The Pauline revelation. Is any of you better than Paul? We have a better covenant than the old covenant.
Amen.
But no, if you're gonna come to this church, you're gonna be challenged by the devil. I don't. Now, listen, that's nothing to be scared of, because if you know who you are, you'll resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And this is where a lot of people, what I'm going to preach to you tonight is where a lot of people miss it in the faith message. Because they get excited about it, but once they release their faith, once you, your words is a seed, and it'll go into the ground. And he can't touch it because it's holy. The only one that could touch that seed from coming to pass is you digging it up with your confession. And he'll work on you. He'll put pressure on you. He'll put pressure on your finances. He'll do anything he can to get you to dig up what you released in your mouth. Now look at this. Hallelujah. That's why the devil fights the faith message in these last days. Let me tell you, people without faith, if they don't have faith, they don't have endurance.
Yes, sir. Amen.
They just fall apart. I said they just fall apart. They don't have no endurance.
Amen.
And you know, another thing is because we have raised a crop of people that everything is done for them by their parents. So they haven't learned how to endure, how to work hard, how to endure the things of life, and we've made them cripples.
Come on now.
Well, that ain't enough. Come on, honey. You're going to have to, hallelujah, praise God. So you're doing a good job. Thank you, ma'am. Praise God.
Glory to God.
Amen. Yeah, you see, you'll find out if you're a panty waist. Just go into the church. I mean, go into the ministry. Start being an usher, and you'll find out if you're a lily or not.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
That's what a panty waist means. That's not Nancy. That ain't nasty. I didn't say Nancy. I said nasty.
Good preaching.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Today, to be strong with the anointing of God, you can't be a lily. Listen, I've hired people from our famous Bible school, and they said, now we take Wednesday off. Because Pastor Hagin has taught us to be with our family because his dad was gone all the time. I said, I never heard him preach that. I said, Wednesday night is our midweek service. And I want $150,000 a year plus a car plus health insurance. I said, you're too expensive for me, not for God. I know he didn't teach that. Did you ever hear him say that? Listen, don't count this as camp meeting. This is see if you got anything Sunday night service. I mean, I'm over a minister's fellowship. You'd be the things that people phone me about. One fella, he wouldn't mind me telling the name, but I won't. But he phoned me and he said, well, the deacon said this and this, and he went on and on. And I was busy. I was getting out of an airplane and everything. And I'm on the phone with him, and I want to be nice, you know. And I said, I mentioned his name. I said, be the pastor, clunk.
Amen.
And his wife said, what did Dad say? And he said, be the pastor. And that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And he's been the pastor ever since. You know who was the pastor before that? Anybody that had an opinion would control the pastor. That ain't being a good pastor. You know what that is? Making cripple and making lilies out of people. And most people in today's, you know, from most people today have had everything handed down. Their mom and dad worked hard and gave it to them. And they didn't learn how to endure. Faith will endure whatever God throws at you. How long do I have to go through this, Dad? I said, when you endure long enough.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
It might be 20 years. Oh, my God, I don't want to go through it. It won't, but I'm just telling him, whatever it takes, endure.
Amen.
But I've been pastoring for 3 years and only got 20 people. Well, let's find out something. Did God tell you to go there, or did you imagine it?
There you go.
Did somebody else tell you to go there? Did God tell you? Yeah, God told me. Then endure.
Endure. Amen. Yes. That's good. That's good.
We should have took the offering first. I don't know. I don't know.
So good.
Before we go any further, because you're going to have to endure through this service, put your hands up and give him praise. Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say, I always tell people, put a box around there, unto this mountain be thou removed. Everybody say removed. I'd like to say this is a moving company. You hire a moving company to move your furniture or move machinery or get a truck to move things. So this here, that's why I have on here, you have to say it to move it. Things are moved with your faith. Mountain moving faith.
That's right.
Moves things. Well, the devil is going to do everything that he can to keep you from moving. Because when it moves and gets into your life, then you will be excited and you know you'll go on. But this is where people get beat. And in 50 years of ministry, I have found that this is where most Christians miss it. One, they're religious and they don't have a relationship with God. Two, they got to learn that faith will endure. Faith will endure.
Hallelujah.
I mean, we had a jet engine go out, and they wanted $500,000. I didn't have to pay all that because it was because of faulty fans, but they paid $300 and something of it. I had to come up with $170,000, and I had to deal with that. And praise God, I had another airplane that I rode around on, but it took me over a year, almost a year and a half, to get that engine. People say, well, when are you going to get that engine? I said, it'll be here.
Amen.
See, I knew. For me to go to the next level of airplane, for overseas airplane, then I'm going to have to learn to endure over an engine. Because this generation, we want it light and easy. We don't want nothing that puts pressure on our brain or put pressure on our flesh. But let me tell you something. Put the pressure of that on your faith. That's what the shield of faith puts, the shield of faith out. Using your faith and talking faith, it puts the shield. It takes the heat.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Faith, this is mountain moving to move things that you need.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, put a box around saith, shall what? What does C-O-M-E mean? So what's come mean? You as an English teacher, what's come mean? Is that movement?
Yes, sir.
Come would mean movement?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord showed me that this afternoon. Remove is moving, and coming is moving. And this is where the devil fights you from these things coming. You're building a church. You start a church. You're pioneering a church. Well, you better learn how to endure. The city will come against you. The devil will come against you. Religious people will come. Some of your brothers will come against you.
Amen.
Is that true? Have you found that and pioneering your churches?
Yes, sir.
I didn't hear anything. I just see. I haven't got the language of that.
Yes, sir.
We're landing the plane here. Thank you.
Praise God.
Amen. Have you found that out?
Yes, sir.
This building wouldn't be here if you didn't do it. My God, just the first year or so with 5 or 6 people for a whole year on a Sunday night down there at that hotel. That takes endurement. Most people, nobody's coming, quit. You didn't quit. Look at the reward of faith. Get a clue. Get a clue and don't run around with losers. I made up my mind when God said to follow my man of God and put other men of God in my life, I'm going to run around with those that know more about God than me. Why would I want to run around with people that are always fighting what you're saying? I'm going to run around that know more than God. See, you run around with more than know God, you get to know what they know.
Amen.
And when you find out what God knows, then you're in the know. And you won't be a dummy. Going through life, I love Jesus, but just being beat up. It just bothers me and my wife. They see so many people beat up. But the thing it is, we can't get them to do the will of God. We'll say, yes, ma'am, yes, pastor, yes, Dr. Dufresne, I hear what you say, don't marry that guy. And then we hear they ran off of Las Vegas and got hit. I can't control their lives. I'm not God. Well, God can control their lives because they're a free moral agent. I'll get that straight. So I made up my mind that I'm going to have a ball just reporting. It's not on my side. My job is to report what the Word of God says. It is not my job to make them do what the report is. And if they don't do it, I am not going to disturb my spirit. A troubled spirit is an unbelieving spirit because people won't do the Word. It used to as a young pastor until I made up my mind, my joy is not in my head and what they're doing. My wife said, I don't care if only five of you show up on Sunday morning. She means it. I mean, she's better at that than I am. She doesn't seem like anything bothers her unless you mess with her husband, mess with her children, and mess with her church. I've seen fire. She told one lady because she was sleeping around in our church and getting money from guys and they were having sex with her. And she said, you will not be back in this church.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you're going to come in their vineyard. You're not going to be sleeping with guys and to get money off of them. She used one work day. She let us use her pickup. And then after the day was over, she said, the church broke my, I want a new transmission. Well, the transmission was almost out anyway. But she, you know, she's a moocher. Have you? You don't have that here, do you? Do you have moochers around here? Huh?
Not anymore.
Not no more? Okay. Know this, where Lucy Ball came from, there's no moochers. Praise God. That's pretty good. And she came in the service. And my wife, her fire shot out, right? She said, just a minute, I'm going to take care of church. She went back there and got two ushers and carried her out, and you put her in my office and stay with her until I'm done. She could have got arrested for kidnapping. But people sue over anything, you know. I mean, people are crazy. They're nuts. I want a new transmission. She knew what she was doing. And she went in there and told her like it was. We haven't seen her since. We heard she was in another church, mooching, getting new transmission, new tires, and getting a bunch of babies for our taxes could pay for them. The Bible school student back here, he's used to this kind of preaching, aren't you? Raise your hand. Praise God. We did our best to get him straightened out, but we're working on it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. And it shall come to pass, he shall have what he is saying. There's another saying. There's three sayings, the one believing. So you got to say it more. But now, with that in mind, when you start moving things and you can't see it, see, don't let down on your faith. Because you can't see it doesn't mean it's coming towards you. And this is where the devil will try to get you into the flesh realm and the mental realm. Well, you don't see it, it hasn't come to pass yet. And he will attack you to keep it from coming. Why? First, you're getting your needs met, but it brings glory to God. Another opportunity to prove that God's word works.
That's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I said amen.
Amen.
You see, the trick of the devil, the Lord told me this, the trick of the devil is get rid of the Pauline revelation. If you do that, you're getting rid of the faith message. Because in these last days, let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. And he know Matthew 24, and let's Let's start with the 11th verse. Many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many. We see that today. We see it on TV, what people are preaching. That mean they're evil, but false teeth ain't evil, but it ain't the real thing. There's many saying they're prophets and this and that. But because Jesus said up here, take heed, no man deceive you. And people are being deceived today because they don't, either they didn't get a hold of the word or what, looking for something new. And deceive many, many false prophets shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he, look at this, look, you got to know this. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. Well, let me put it this way. You think saved coming to the Lord, that they will be taken care of.
That's right.
Salvation means they'll be taken care of and everything else. Why? Because they didn't give in. So if the devil can get our churches not to touch faith, get off and entertain the soulish part of the man and the flesh part of man, but don't put no word, then when it really gets darker out there, they'll start falling like flies. Because faith gives you the ability to endure. When people quit, you could tell that faith didn't fail. If they were in, you know, if they were in faith, they wouldn't fail, but they failed. Faith never fails. Because you got to learn to endure.
Right.
This didn't come by not having a fight and by not enduring. Mommy and daddy didn't come and hand this to you, did they?
No, sir.
Huh?
No, sir.
You endured what God said to the man of God, the apostle of God.
Amen.
And you stayed with it. Now, in your mind, if you'll be honest with me, you'd probably say, oh, got to go down there again and act like we're the comp, you know, get up and say, all right, we're going to take an offering.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, receive the offering.
That's right.
Is that about it?
Yeah.
It takes faith for a man to have a good church and then split it. He's the only one that's ever split that church. To what? Unselfishness, to start another work and give the pastor some people to work with to get, see, that takes faith to do that. And tithers leaving. But he knows God. He's got a fellowship with God. His family knows. First time I come here, I thought the car was going to fall apart that he picked me up in. But he stayed after it. Commend you. And many are benefiting because of your enduring. No faith, no enduring. You'll be a lily.
Yeah.
You'll cave into anything. What's the use? This is too hard. We have some stupid people saying, well, don't preach faith in the mornings, or you know, because faith is really, it's really hard. Live without it and find out how hard it is.
That's right. Well, that's good preaching.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's easy to say, but my God shall supply all my needs when you have a steady paycheck from your employer. Get laid off and we'll find out how much faith you got. Oh, this faith stuff don't work. Well, you haven't worked it. Start believing God. If you start, believe in God, and you got laid off and you have no more paychecks. Either believe God. I'll leave it there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we could read, there's more here. But now, where do I want to? James, go to James. Thank you, Lord. The teacher's working in me.
Glory God.
Go over to James. This is good. This is good. This is good. I can't get anybody to agree with me. I had to go over to these girls and get a pat. Help my ego here a little bit. Go ahead. Say you're doing a good job, brother. I want to pat it again. Amen. I like that. Praise God. James, look at this. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered about, greetings. Greetings. Notice he didn't have no problem saying he was a servant of God. My brethren, look at this. Count it all gloom and doom when you fall in divers different temptations. What is it? Somebody got an amplified here? Who's got an amplified? You do? Read that verse 2 in the amplified.
Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren.
Holy joyful.
Whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations.
See, people don't count it joy when pressure comes. This is where people meant it. They don't live in the joy while you're going through it. I know during the dip, I go from church, faith churches. Say, well, we got hit by the dip. I said, I didn't. I did. I mean, we had over 100 people leave over because they lost jobs, moved away, or they said the faith stuff don't work because, you know. Faith works if you lose your job or not. Count it all joy when you fall into different tests and trials. The devil put pressure on you. Hallelujah. The devil worked me over and said, where are you going to get the money for that engine? Where are you going to get the money for that engine? I said, shut up, Mr. Devil. I will get it. And I did. And I did. That's right.
Glory.
There's quite a story behind that, but some of you probably wouldn't believe it if I told you how a golden falcon or hawk came to my window. And I looked at it, and he was looking at me. And the Lord spoke. And I said, told you, look at the birds. Because, see, I was starting to get my mind, where are you going to get the money to do that? And I was right in the middle of other financial, paying for this, paying for that, paying for a house that was empty for 3 years. I could have rented it out for 3 years, but I just knew it would sell right away, but it didn't. It didn't. Until April 1st came around. And everything bust loose because that's when the wave, in my opinion, has hit, and we're in it. It's in the wave. You're singing it all the time. Amen. Property that I started in 2006 to build a 50,000 square feet office building that I was going to kind of use for, not that I was going to retire, but something for my children and everything else. Man says to lay up an inheritance for his children. And the bank said, okay. 2 weeks later, they phoned and said, we'll give you all your money back that you spent and what it took for us to get this loan. But something's happening, and everything went on. I already spent a couple $100,000 putting all the electric underground, and Verizon underground, everything underground. And it sit empty all these years. gathering weeds. I'm still paying on that. Paying on another house. Paying on the house we're living in. Paying for this, paying for that. But see what I had to do? The joy is what kept me in my faith.
Amen. That's good.
Praise God.
People don't, they're not taught how to take pressure. Because everything's done for them.
Come on.
Amen. Amen. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Traveling, living in my car. But just saying faith works, praise God.
Faith works.
It works if you work it right.
Well,
I tried it, it didn't work. Well, you don't see, if you know God, you wouldn't be trying it. You're just trying it to see if it works, then you'll do it. You know, you'll live in it. Faith is a relationship with God.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. See, you got to realize this. The joy will keep you in your faith. The joy. And you gotta stir that up in the middle of things like that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
And you got to realize, and I'm gonna read it to you. I'm gonna give you something that you should mark in your Bible and read it over and over. This will really help you folks. As much as it helped me and my wife. I don't know everything, but I do know this because I practice it and worked it, and it works.
Amen.
See, people will say, oh, man, I'm glad that's over with. Or they'll back off. They'll back off where they won't be under the pressure. People have stayed in their same house for 50 years because of that. They have had their old beat-up car for many years because they don't want any kind of pressure, you know, paying payments or anything else. Now, you should use wisdom. Don't misunderstand me. There's two sides of the coin in using wisdom. Don't go out and get over debt. But I'm talking about there's people. See, if you don't develop your faith, you'll always stay where you're at.
That's right. That's right.
Soon as you step out, God says, I'll give you that house. That means I have a supply to take care of it. If he tells me in my heart, he told my wife that house. Matter of fact, I told her, I said, that house that you said and was your dream house has become a curse to me. She says, you know, women, they're so sweet, most of them. She said, oh, honey, look at all the sermons you got out of that. And look at you've developed your faith to pay that and pay for this other. And now you developed your faith to another measure. Now God can give you other things that you can
yes.
take care of with your faith. Yes. A bigger building, whatever.
Amen.
That's right.
See, the devil wants to keep you at the measure you got when you got born. Everybody has the same measure. So a measure means you could get more measure, more faith, bigger responsibilities. And what happens, he keeps beating us back and we fail at that. We out here, that fail. See, this is what I'm talking about. Not crisis, but tests and trials. We should say, here we go. We're going to get on the other side of this. Our faith will take us. Yeah, there'll be storms going on the other side of this. Yeah, the devil will put all kinds of things. But once I get on the other side, I can turn around and say, ha!
Yeah.
Just like I passed third grade, going to fourth grade, I don't have to go back to third grade. And the devil will try to get you to go back to the first grade, and I tell him, no, you don't. I already passed that.
Amen. Glory to God.
I passed the test with a twin 421. I've had five of them. And I developed my first one. It took every ounce of faith to keep that thing going. God said I could have it. But see, maintenance. Here we go. We got to put fuel in it. Well, you're going to go anywhere, especially in the air. You got to have fuel. You got to pay for this and you got to pay for that. I tell people it's easy to get an airplane, but keeping it up. But I count it all joy instead of saying, No, I count it all joy because it's going to help me develop my measure. And once I get it, I have a 421. That's the easiest thing for me to maintain. I have what they call a small jet class. I take care of that. I got two I'm taking care of. And if I didn't pass those tests on the first one, I'd have never had what I have now. Or I could never get what I want in an international one now. Because they're time redeemers. We're going to take crews. We're going to go over as teams. You guys are going to go with me. We're going to go over in teams. Well, see, I'm developed. People are telling me, oh, my goodness, that's an awful big airplane, a lot of maintenance. I said, well, that's what they said about the 421.
Yes, sir.
And see, my kids say, Dad, we saw how those airplanes and how you had to believe. You sure you want to go to, you got everything maintained? I said, yeah, that ain't the time to relax. No. Oh, we got a sweet church. You know, all the beams are paid for now. The property's paid for. He said never.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
You'll never go anywhere. You'll stay in the same, if I may say, the shack. The cracker box. World War II cracker box. And I'm not saying that's bad. But you say, I don't want to. See, you never develop your faith. He picks me up in this car and was praying to see if it's going to make it. Now he picks me up in a BMW. Well, my God, a preacher shouldn't have that. Well, you ought to see what God rides on. You ought to see what they ride up in heaven. Chariots are faster than the speed of sound. Boom! Of light. Woo! Glory be to God. I had a man tell me one time, years ago, back in 1972, he was a famous baseball player, and he got saved, but he got wrong teaching that God will put sickness on you and everything. And I was living up in the mountains, and I was going to his church because I knew him and everything. And they had me preach once, and that was the last time because I preached on faith. And I was out by the airport, the Mammoth Airport there, and I saw him. I said, hey, how you doing? He said, fine. His brother Ed, come here. And he was getting ready to get in little single airplane. And he said, he leaned over and said, what you preach will never get you what I got. A couple years ago, I was going to the state of Washington in the jet to go on a cruise. And I flew over Mammoth, and I remembered what he said. And you see where his ministry is today. It's hardly doing anything. People will criticize. They'll make fun of you. But when you know God, you know this is right. If you work it right, don't get goofy. Going around claiming everything. And, you know, I had one guy out there one time at my hangar in Tulsa. And he was out there, holding a little bit. I said, what are you doing to my airplane? He said, well, I'm praying. This is my airplane. I said, get your hands off of those wings. That's my airplane, not yours. Kind of reminds me of that one that was believing God for his Bronco. You remember that four-wheel Bronco? At every lane, he said, get your hands off of that. That's mine. No, you're supposed to give it to me. He said, God never told me to give it to you. Get away from my... A stupid Rhema student. You remember that story? And Ken Copeland come and preached, and he talked about how he gave a car away. And I heard a bunch of Rhema students give their car away, and they walked the whole semester to school. You don't do it because somebody else. You got to have faith. God told them to do that. See, you got to work it right. Don't get goofy. Right. See, the trouble is you got to keep in the middle. Don't get on the over in this ditch or get over in that ditch. Don't get in the poverty ditch. Then you're thinking that's all you're thinking about. Get having faith for you can be a millionaire. Right. The only faith for you get money is to take care of your needs and everybody else. I lightened up where I am lowered. I told the church, I just during camp meeting, my compensation board, I'm going to take and I'm making a cut in my housing allowance because I don't need that much now.
Praise God.
That's a switch. Yeah. I'm taking, you know what I'm doing? To put it over and hiring another person to do for we can reach out and do what we're doing.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm helping you or not. Now, are you ready? Look at this. Look at this. You got to know this. Knowing this. Everybody say that.
Knowing.
Say, I got to know this
for
faith to work in my life.
Now,
look at it. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, you're a Greek scholar. What's in patience mean? Endurance is the same word, endurance. Remember he said there, those that endure in the end will be saved. Otherwise, everything will be taken care of for them. See, today people don't know how to endure. Faith endures anything. Death, tragedies, everything, it will endure. Joy and faith will keep you enduring until it comes to pass. The devil wants to keep it from moving.
Amen?
The devil didn't want you to have a good looking fella like this. The devil didn't want you, especially a preacher woman. He might throw an old barmaid to you or something. He'll gladly let you do that and ruin, go down the tubes more, you know.
Come on.
Amen. Notice they're holding hands. What's your problem again? Man got a beautiful thing like that and he's sitting there like he's studious, you know. Don't tell my wife that I've been acting up. Because she already knows about it. Now, you got your shouting clothes on?
Yeah.
And I'll close with this. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh endurance. But let endurance have her perfect work, that you may be what?
Perfect.
And what?
Entire.
And what?
Wanting nothing.
Wanting nothing. You know, all marriages have to deal with certain things more than others. But when you learn to endure it and learn how to give in to one another and make up your mind, because it ain't greener out there. It ain't be no better anywhere. You're stuck. In the word, you're stuck. Unless one leaves, then that's their, you know, the Bible says if they don't want to dwell, let them go. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Pastor Michael, Pastor Nancy, they're stuck. And I think they like it. Amen.
Amen.
And wanting nothing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory.
And wanting
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
Other words, what you're believing for comes to pass.
Right.
We had a guy there at a Holy Ghost meeting. He's from Texas. And he works out with weights. He pastors a church there. I preached for him when he first started that church. Picked me up in an old beat up car. I had a meeting with their deacons and got him a new car. I mean, at least if you're going to pick me up, I got to have a car to get there. And your pastor's drive anyway. But he works out, him and his wife, they work out with weights. And he was there, and and you know, at the meeting, and he got up and gave a testimony. Remember him? You know, he had big old muscles like this. So I took a shower and I was getting ready for my night meeting, and I was going like this. And this muscle fell down there. And the Lord said that's where a lot of faith people, their muscle, because they don't use it. If you don't lift weights, you don't. It's the same thing with tests and trials. You got to know that they'll develop you if you look at it right with the joy. Here we go. Praise God. Knowing this. That my faith will get me on the other side.
That's right.
Stand to your feet. I don't know if I helped you, but I helped myself. Hallelujah. You know, we've been getting a lot of information in these meetings. The same with our camp meeting. We had a lot, you know, Holy Ghost stuff going, but there was a lot of information coming out, wasn't there? Praise God. Revelation for this era. Revelation to flow. Hallelujah. Find out, get in the Word, find out, you know, if it's the will of God for you to have, whatever. Same with the house. That's how we buy houses. We don't look at our checkbook. We look down here. God said, yeah, I can have that house. I can have it. And there's a supply with it. What happened during the dip, people went out, and the banks were, or before the dip, people were buying houses, and they couldn't, in our church, and they couldn't afford it. And they acted on, they thought they were acting on faith when they were acting on subception or mentally faith. And they developed, that's where that book came out, you know, The Measure of Faith. Because it bothered us that there was quite a few people that lost their homes. That bothered me. I said, Lord, are we pastoring right? Are we, you know, how could we? And he said, no, they went beyond their measure and bought a house and they didn't develop their faith. Amen. But find out, and if the Lord speaks to you, and listen, you men, don't be stingy with your wife. If the Lord, I didn't want to buy that big house that my wife, that was her dream house. And I went to God, I said, God, I'm just happy where I'm at. She says, she's not. And she even said, that's the house I'll live the rest of my life. Well, that proved wrong. Never say that. Because the Lord dealt with both of us to sell it and lighten up and you know, praise God. And I said, I'm believing to keep the airplanes going. I'm believing for the you know, the building the buildings and doing all that. I said, honey, it's like Brother Hagin said. He told his wife, if you hang those drapes on my faith, we're all coming down. That's where we learned that measure of faith when he said that. And we learn because other people, they hung too much on their faith. If you hang those drapes, if you haven't heard the tape, then you don't. If you hang those tapes, I'm believing for this, I believe. And that's where I was. I'm believing to keep those the gas in those things, because what we charge the churches is just really a quarter what it costs to operate that airplane. So I have to believe just like the Bible school. I'm believing the Bible school now. What they pay is only half. I have to come in with Ed Dufresne Ministries and pick up the difference. And now I know what Dad was talking about, that it all, you know, because if we charge what it should be charged, there's a lot of young people that couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it with the hotel rooms and everything, because their faith ain't developed. That's why they're coming. So we know that that's, amen. So I had all this on my curtain rod. And I said, she said this. She said, if two agree, if you agree, Lord taught us, if you will agree where my measure, I have measured, she had the measure to get that house. This last house, God spoke to me. And that was on my faith I got that house. But she got that other house. And so I got in agreement on her measure, and we got that house. And then I'm a builder. I built suites in the back. Your pastors have been there. Very nice, huh? You know, for pastors. And then I had a body shop back there where I was redoing pickups and, you know, 57 Chevys and doing all that. And then I got in trouble with God because that was distracting from the prophet. See, the prophet has to have peace. He can't have a lot of distractions. He's got to be listening all the time. You got to understand that. And then in the middle of that, he told me to buy this ranch. Hallelujah. And he said, build what I'm building, and it's 75% done. Paid as we go, not the property yet, but it will be. Amen. I'm going to pay that off when I sell this commercial, I'll pay that, and that will be paid off. But I'm not going to relax on my faith. I'm going to all that faith that I needed to take care of those things, I'm putting over on other things. Mongolia, Russia. All these new churches that are being raised up, that go in and bless them. You know, they have five or six people in their churches. They won't have to pay all my expenses. I can go in there and bless them. Because if it's, most people, it is not a money issue. It's a faith issue. If you haven't got that book, Measure of Faith, out there, you go out there. It'll help you. I said, I'll help you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God forevermore. Give Him a shout. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Did you get something out of this, Dr. Jones? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Your baby's coming, so give him a spanking for me, will you? They're all on the plane with my wife. They're heading this way. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Glory be to God forevermore.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. You know, it was kind of a deal that I made with him and asked him. The Lord told me to have him come. But I made a deal with him. If you get some good stuff from your mama, you're going to share it. You heard her. That's right. See, that's right. That's right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of tonight? Hallelujah. Is there any more with that arm condition? I don't know. That just keeps coming up again. I know she received it. And praise God. Is that you? What is it? Goes, I don't know what you do for a living, but I heard a millionaire.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I don't know what that's about. What does he do? You don't know? Huh? Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. What's wrong with you?
Pinch nerve.
No.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. You know, when you learn how to flow with God, this is such an easy job. It is. It's a joy. I said it's a joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I pull up in the back of the church, you know, because our little room's there, and I got my parking place back there. And I pulled up a year and a half ago, and the Lord said, I want you to build a Bible school building with offices. I had a sign in the back where he's going to build, maybe, you know, when the Lord told me. He said, no. He said, build a smaller one there and dig a hole, and I filled it. I mentioned that to the church, and I have a man that's got a bunch of equipment. He went out there and dug the hole. You know, you got to dig down 9 feet, then put the dirt back in and have it checked and all that. And now we're almost done. And you know something? Every time a voice would come in, well, when's it going to get done? I said, it'll get done when it gets done. Yeah, I'm going to put no pressure on me. Because a troubled heart is not a faith heart. When you're troubled in your heart, then you know you need to start. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Better pull some tapes out with Pastor Michael or Pastor Tim or myself or my wife or Dad Hagen. Actually, he's the head one. You should pull him out first. That teaching on the subject of faith and develop that faith. We do not have to be troubled when the world is in turmoil. And it is a mess. But America will survive. America will turn. It's starting to happen. In spite of in spite of politicians.
Amen.
Things are turning for the church.
That's right.
Things are turning for the church. It's in the plan for the revival. Amen. So I count it all joy. My flesh didn't like it. And then after a year, they phoned me up about the engine and said, if you don't pay on this engine, he said, we're going to auction it off. I said, so you can't auction mine. He said, watch us. And right after that is when that hawk came to my window. Remember, he said, look at the birds.
Praise God.
And during the meeting, one of my sons came and gave me the money to pay for that engine. So I had all those things on my plate. And believing, counting it all joy. Was it easy? Not all the time. You want to cry and have joy. But you have to, that's what I'm talking about. People say, what is the biggest problem you have in your ministry? I said, me. Keeping me in joy, keeping me in faith. Second thing is practice what I preach. I do not want to be hypocritical and get up and preach this is the way you live and then I don't live it. I ran around guys like that in the bar years ago. That pick up on your woman just like that, you know. Well, moving right along. Hallelujah. I don't know. I just felt like I'm not quite done yet. Somebody got something. A hip, something to do with a hip. A hip. Is that you? Something to do with a hip. If you have some problem in your hip, come on up here. And then I believe, I could be wrong, I'm a man, come on up. But I believe Joe has a song in what I preach, do you? Yeah, see? Amen. He's just like Keith Moore, Dad Hagen. So you got something, Keith? Everybody always say, well, we know he's got something all the time. Hallelujah. What's wrong with your hip? Oh, wait a minute. What'd you do to it? Just been messing up on you. Praise God in the name of Jesus. What's wrong with your hip?
A muscle.
A muscle, every bit of that go. What's the deal with you? Huh? My goodness, there it is right there. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Go for it.
Hallelujah. Lift your hands, everybody, and praise the Lord. Glory to God. When things look bad, count it all joy. When you're feeling sad, count it all joy. When times are looking tough and you want to give up, just go ahead and count it all joy. 2, 3. When things look bad, count it all joy. When you're feeling sad, count it all joy. When times are looking tough and you want to give up, go ahead and count it all joy. Sing that with us. When things look bad, count it all joy. When you're feeling sad, count it all joy. And when times are getting tough and you want to give up, just go ahead and count it all joy. Sing it one more time. When things look bad, count it all joy. Yeah, when you're feeling sad, count it all joy. When times are getting tough and you want to give up, just go ahead and count it all joy. Now listen, there might be problems and there might be tests. There might be times when there seems there's no rest. The way you get through is to take the word and do it. You go ahead and count it all joy. Yeah, when things look bad, count it all joy. And when you're feeling sad, count it all joy. When times are getting tough and you want to give up, just go ahead and count it all joy. Listen. You have problems, they're talking so loud. You gotta come back, maybe stand and look proud, and say, I won't listen to you, there's something else I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go ahead and count it all joy. Yeah, yeah, when things are bad, count it all joy. When you're feeling sad, count it all joy. When times are getting tough and you want to give up, just go ahead and count it all joy. I think there's another verse here. There's a different language you have to learn to speak. You can't keep on talking with full of unbelief. Instead of crying, instead of pouting, you have to learn to laugh. To say ha 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 ha. Oh, 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 when things look bad, count it all joy. When you're feeling sad, count it all joy. When times are looking tough and you want to give up, just go ahead, count it all joy. You to count it all joy right now. When you're feeling sad, count it all joy. When times are getting tough, and when times are getting tough, and you want to give up, just go ahead and count it all joy. Whoa, just go ahead and count it all joy. Joy, joy, go ahead and count, keep doing that. Joy, joy. Just go ahead and count it all. Gotta keep the joy moving. Just go ahead and count it all. Joy unspeakable. Go ahead and count it all. Joy. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Joy, 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 joy,